for the wonders that astound us, for the truths that confound us, most of all, that love has found us. Thanks be to God. That could be our Thanksgiving sermon. Please pray with me. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be inspired by you and be acceptable by you, for you are our rock and our foundation. Amen. The text I read from the Gospel of Luke is often used at Thanksgiving. Traditionally, the preacher reads about the 10 lepers who were cleansed and how only one returned to say thank you. Then the preacher closes the Bible and says, "Where are the 9? One said thank you. Where are the 9? And then for 20 minutes or so, the preacher harangues the congregation, perhaps trying with "Where is the 9?" to make them feel guilty. To me, it always sounds a lot like your mother telling you how children in Africa would enjoy the spinach on your plate. So you ought to be grateful too. The guilt trip didn't work on me as a kid, and so I don't think it works here in the sanctuary either. So it'd be easy to shy away from this passage, to forget the guilt trip approach and look for another Thanksgiving text. But upon looking at this story again, I decided that the characters are not as flat as most preachers make them out to be. "Where are the 9?" implies that the 9 weren't happy and weren't grateful to be healed. But the text doesn't say that. Just because only one said thank you doesn't mean that the others didn't give a darn. Besides, they were just doing what they were told to do. Jesus didn't tell them to come closer, to come near, or to say anything special. He said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests," which was a prerequisite to their being received back into polite society. So they went to the priests. And as they were going, the scripture tells us they were healed miraculously. Jesus didn't tell them, and he didn't heal them and then tell them to go. He just told them to go. And then they were healed. And in their going, in their lumbering forward on ruined feet, looking ahead out of disintegrated and disfigured faces, they discovered new flesh on their limbs. So where are the 9? The 9 are simply doing what Jesus told them to do. They're doing their duty. God bless them. They have taken the road as commanded, found their healing while walking, and seem to think that staying on the road is what they were supposed to do. They're a bit like Forrest Gump with a football. Do you remember that movie? They've crossed the goal. They keep on running right out of the stadium while the crowd cheers and whoops and celebrates without them. These lepers need to be certified by the priests. They need to be reinstated to membership privileges. So they keep right on going, following Jesus' instructions. There's only one problem, though. Gratitude isn't a matter of following instructions. You can do what you're supposed to do with life. Cross every T, dot every I, reach every goal that you set before you, hit every mark you aim at. You can do all of that and never stop to realize how many gifts you've been given. The writer of Deuteronomy has Moses tell the Israelites not to fool themselves into thinking that the land that they would inherit and the life that they would lead was of their own doing. Can you see that? He wanted them to know that it all came from the hand of God. But folks who keep right on moving down the road, keeping their noses clean, paying their taxes, being good citizens, these folks aren't the ones who see the grace of God at work in their lives. As long as they keep heading down the road, They won't double back and bow at Jesus' feet and sing, thank you, thank you, thank you. And let's be clear, they're not bad people. They just don't slow down long enough to discover life beyond the calendar, to discover life beyond the rule book, beyond the bottom line, beyond the 9-to-5 grind. Perhaps you've heard the story about the family having a picnic on a beautiful sunny day beside a lake. They all got so busy eating and having a good time, enjoying the weather, that they forgot about the little 5-year-old. And in a moment of carelessness, the child fell into the water. Unfortunately, none of the adults could swim. So the child bobbed up and down, and they stood there helplessly, shrieking their heads off. Well, a passerby saw what had happened, and at great risk to himself, plunged into the lake, swam out to the little boy, managed to grab him before he went down for the third time. Heroically, he paddled back to shore, where before he collapsed with exhaustion, he presented the child to his mother, safe and sound. The mother surrounded the child with hugs and kisses and tears of joy, and then she took a look at her son, turned back to the rescuer and said, "Where's his cap?" She was one of the 9. She was not a bad person. She was just too caught up in doing what needs to be done to be grateful. Just too concerned about other things to say thanks. Maybe that's why there's so little actual gratitude expressed on the Thanksgiving holiday. You can't schedule gratitude on the calendar. You can't program gratitude into your iPhone or your tablet. You can't write, be grateful on your to-do list and then check it off after you've been to the grocery store. Gratitude comes from the heart. And preachers like myself need to remember that we can't command folks to be thankful. The trouble with us is we're not grateful. We ought to be more grateful. Okay, now on the count of 3, be grateful. It doesn't work that way. Gratitude isn't a matter of following instructions. Gratitude is a matter of following the heart. Thanksgiving isn't mathematics, it's art. Thanksgiving isn't doctrine, it's doxology. Thanksgiving isn't a set of plans, it's a lump in the throat, a catch in the voice, trembling in the knees, a cry of ecstasy, a whisper of awe. It can't be analyzed, evaluated, or manufactured. It just is. Gratitude works on us, whether we're aware of it or not. Years ago, one of my favorite preaching teachers, Frederick Craddock, told us about meeting a man from a major university in the Netherlands. This man was in the U.S. working on a study about the influence of conversation between doctors and nurses during surgery on a patient's post-operative recovery. Do you know what they discovered? This man discovered that even though a patient is under anesthetic, he or she is still influenced by the mood in the operating room. For example, if the doctors and nurses were negative and snippy with each other during the operation, the patient took longer than normal to recover. Conversely, if the doctors and nurses were cheerful and upbeat and happy, then the patient recovered more quickly. After he'd been through all this data with Craddock, the Dutch professor said to the preacher, "Now tell me, why are you interested in this? Are you a medical doctor?" To which Craddock replied, "No, I'm a preacher. And if it works in surgery, it'll work in the sanctuary." And do you know what? Ever since Craddock told me that story, I've never bothered when I see people sleeping during my sermon. I just keep preaching. because I know that by about Wednesday or Thursday, old Rip Van Winkle is going to start feeling a little more Christ-like and may not even know why. Gratitude works the same way on us. It wells up from somewhere deep within, and we know not where. It comes unbidden. It arises in the depths of our souls. Gratitude is a matter of following the heart. And when you follow your heart instead of following the instructions, you just can't help being grateful. And if you give expression to that gratitude, even in the silence of your heart and mind, it can change your life. It really can. Some time ago, I read a timely article in the Toronto Star's Life section, and it read like this: Healthy and the Power of Being Thankful. Gratitude works. It heals, it energizes, it transforms life. That was in the paper, not in the Bible. When life is going well, it allows us to celebrate and magnify the goodness. When life is going badly, it provides a perspective by which we can view life in its entirety. And gratitude will certainly change your outlook. If you express that gratitude regularly, it will change your life. I know that not all of our prayers are answered the way we hope they'll be. But gratitude helps us to live through the difficult time. I believe this is the good news of the gospel. Thanks be to God.